Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, I'm still dropping stuff everywhere. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. If you'd like to email us today, you can do as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see. Rick, I bought the Kevin Federline album as a gag gift for a few close friends who enjoy rap. I'm sorry I did. I'm now involved in a class action lawsuit from those same friends for perpetuating psychological abuse and psychosomatic trauma plus spontaneous ear bleeding. Good God, it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. It's worse than the worst thing I've ever heard. Kevin Federline, there you go. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson radio program. Live from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roof. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
How is that? You're sounding more chipper today.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. You were in a bit of a funk the last time we spoke.
I was probably just tired.
No, you weren't just tired.
Oh, okay.
Anybody remember why Jim Roop was in a bit of a funk? Sarah Dillon?
Oh, my wife was mad at me.
Yes.
Mrs. Roop, who I'm sure is a lovely woman. But you were, you all had experienced some sort of rockiness that morning.
Well, I still don't know what it was.
See, I'm treading very carefully here.
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying I'm sure that it's a very simple misunderstanding that you will never be informed the nature of.
Probably something I did 6 or 7 years ago.
It will never be explained or clarified in any way. One must simply learn to grit one's teeth and say, yes, dear, whatever you need.
That's right.
That's exactly my friend.
I have to go to work now.
We heard the greatest story today. I can just tell you, you want to talk about love. Sarah had the greatest story for me today. There's about, Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter are together.
Yeah.
Is that right? Am I right about that?
That is true.
Okay, Sarah has the best story. Tell Jim the story you told me about Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter.
I read this story about them that they figure out that they can't live together. So instead, they built houses right next door to each other and have a raised, corridor between the two houses so they can go and hang out and, still be together, but they have their, separate rooms and houses they can stay in.
How great is that? Right there. That's the key to a happy relationship.
You got the money.
That's what I'm saying. They'll stay together forever.
Absolutely.
They'll stay together for 50 years. Boy, if my grandparents could have done that, I mean, they would have been so much happier. My grandfather would not have spent every night half into a bottle of Jim Beam, just seething, because my grandparents were not they were not people of means. And so they lived in a very, very small farmhouse. And I've told this story, but my grandmother, she spent all of her time just sort of in the bedroom. And my grandfather had his own bedroom that he had sort of just made out of like a rollaway mattress. And he must have sat down with the blueprints and figured out like the furthest he could possibly get away from her within the house. Like without having to go out and sleep, in the middle of an acorn field somewhere. So, God love my wife. She's a wonderful woman, the sunshine of my existence and so forth. But I got to say this. We used to live, up until about 2 years ago, we lived in a split-level place. We had a townhouse that we had an upstairs, downstairs, whatever. Now we moved into a house now, which is actually all just one floor. And you know what? Our house is really great. But there is something to be said for having at least a distinct upstairs and a distinct downstairs. Because on those days, rare though they might be, that you really just don't want to be around anybody.
That's why when you buy a home, buy a detached garage.
See, and that's a lesson that I have kind of a detached garage, I suppose. But I think they must have killed somebody in my garage at some point. Because there really is just an unholy funk in there. And it's filled with spiders. So I have to work
but
on that.
But it's still yours.
Now that's but it's all my. It's pure Rick. So
all my stuff lives.
That was, you have the means. That's how you want to do it. It's a separate houses connected by a tunnel or something. That is the key to marriage longevity. Hey, actor Daniel Baldwin just got arrested.
Yeah, how about that? He stole a car.
I'm looking at this right here. Daniel Baldwin arrested in Santa Monica on suspicion of stealing SUV. What I mean. I don't understand.
Apparently, he took this a friend's car without permission, and so the friend got ticked off and called the cops on him.
Well, that's a friend. That's true. That's true friendship right there.
Yeah.
Daniel Baldwin is sort of, he falls into that same category as like Robert Downey Jr., where it's like at any moment you just expect to see about him. You know, he's like Gary Busey. You just expect to hear about him wandering drunken through a suburb somewhere waving a sword.
Yeah.
You know, and just sleep, falling asleep on people's couches.
Well, several Baldwin boys are that have that personality.
Well, Alec is the only one who's not crazy. Isn't that true?
Well, yeah, he's a different kind of crazy.
I mean, he's liberal, nutty, political crazy.
He's a different kind of crazy.
He's, you know, you expect him to be standing on an ice floe screaming about global warming and saving the planet, but he's not like wacky drug criminal crazy.
I mean, Daniel and Stephen, those two are the ones that are out there.
Oh, man, Stephen Baldwin, have you read his book?
No.
Well, let me encourage you not to do so, by the way. He, trading on his only real moment of shining success, which is in The Usual Suspects, he has this book he just put out.
You mean it's not the Flintstones movie?
No. No, he... Stephen Baldwin just put out his book, and and I don't mean to knock on people of faith and so forth, but you know, there's a certain kind of quiet dignity to having faith and then just keeping that faith to yourself.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Stephen Baldwin is not one of those people. He has this book called The Unusual Suspect, and it's all about like his, you know, finding Jesus and so forth. And so I read this interview with him. I wish I could find, if I can find it, I'll send it your way. I read the best interview with Stephen Baldwin where, and the transcript is hilarious because the guy from the magazine is like, so, you found Jesus and you cleaned up and you're not doing any drugs anymore, is that right? And Stephen says, yeah, that's right. Pause. I mean, do you have any drugs? And the guy's like, no, I don't, but I mean, you have had a history, Stephen Baldwin, with, cocaine use, and there was a time when you loved cocaine, and that was that's not the case now, is it? And Stephen Baldwin goes, no, man, I love cocaine. If there was a bunch of cocaine in front of me right now, I'd really do it. I'd love nothing more than a big ball of cocaine. That would be wrong, but boy, I'd love some. And it's like eight, nine times in the interview, he just brings up, unprompted, how much he would love to be doing a huge line of cocaine from like here to the wall.
They just let you know the sacrifice. That's
I guess that is true. I guess that the, I guess it is more of, I guess giving up the things one loves is harder.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the Baldwin, you figure if he needs something like Daniel Baldwin, he could just get, they must have Alex's phone number. You need to ride somewhere. Just, you can't call a brother. Who can he call? You know?
Yep.
So, all right, well, there you go.
That's a weird family, though, man.
That whole family is, and let me ask you this, and I'm not like you're an expert on the Baldwins. Maybe you are. Who knows? I mean, does it seem weird to you that, like, you get these young kids that come to Hollywood every single year, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, trying to be famous, trying to find success, trying to become stars, and yet all four members of the Baldwin family become stars? Where's the justice?
They help each other, man.
That must be it.
Oh, one of them gets an agent. And by God, you know, that agent will represent the rest of them.
It's like an entourage. It's a package, a family deal.
You know?
Speaking of a family deal, let's talk about Britney Spears, who now we are all solidly in her camp again. We didn't care for her for a couple of weeks. It kind of like Katie Holmes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll be in Katie Holmes' court once she ditches Tom.
And she will.
See, how long do you give that before Katie Holmes publicly comes out and says...
About another year.
Really? You think so? You think she'll even get married?
No.
Right now, you are saying under your gut.
I think that wedding will be postponed a few times, and then finally it'll just be over.
Well, it has kind of gone underground. You don't really hear a lot about it anymore. I heard about Tom Cruise going crazy in the back of a limousine the other day and, like, tearing up the upholstery or something. But the actual wedding is... I don't even know when it's supposed to be happening now, Sarah. Do we even know when that wedding is supposed to be?
In November at some point.
Yeah,
probably, like, any day. They're saying it's going to be any day now.
Yeah, see, I'm with Rupe. Postponement followed by cancellation.
That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, but there's just no vibe out here about it right now.
No.
There's none.
No.
And a celebrity wedding that's a couple of months away, or even a couple of days away, or weeks away, there's usually a whole lot of buzz.
Well, and even a crazy, hateable celebrity like Tom Cruise, you figure they'd be talking about it, trying to get pictures of it and stuff.
Yeah, but they're not.
And then you got Britney Spears, and here's, man, let me just tell you this. You know, he was, this Kevin Federline guy, he was just performing his alleged music in New York, two nights ago, something like that? An auditorium that holds over 1,500 people. There were 300 there. Half of them were given free tickets on the street. 50 of them were contest winners from a radio station, and 50 of them were people who like it worked at the venue. So there was a grand total of 50 people in a 1,500-seat arena who paid to see Kevin Federline perform.
And they all booed, didn't they?
That is, oh, man, it's the sort of thing that makes my heart... the fact that he's being sponsored by the House of Blues... I mean, really, there's a whole lot of guys in, like...
Well, that was a Britney thing, man. I'm telling you. But at the beginning of that wave that she was riding, called Kevin Federline, or the coattails on which he was riding,
right,
called Britney Spears, she helped him do a lot of things. And I think he was just able to parlay that into a sponsorship by the House of Blues, and she just kind of fed up.
Well, and as I said, I think all women, no matter how successful you are, no matter how rich a woman is herself, women like guys who seem like they got a little bit on the ball.
Yeah.
And women like a guy who is sort of motivated or driven, and even if he's not successful, who wants to be successful, a guy who you know seems like he's going places. Kevin Federline has none of that.
No, I mean, I don't. You're right. I don't care how. Even Nancy Pelosi wants a man.
Oh yeah.
You know. You know, you don't want to hire a guy to come in and fix your cabinet. You got to do it yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so you know, I think she's just going like, you know, I don't need to be married to a woman. So why don't we just get rid of this guy?
He's
even asking for spousal support.
Oh, I know. What kind of man asks? I mean, just
but,
take.
But you know what I heard, and I can't get this confirmed, but I'll tell you anyway.
I see. There's no sweeter phrase to us than the. We can't get this confirmed, but.
But I've heard it from a few sources that I respect.
Okay.
And one of them actually called me to tell me this.
Okay.
That there is some sort of settlement that he has agreed to. Have you heard this?
No.
And it involves a 20-year non-disclosure commitment. He can't talk about their relationship for 20 years.
Really?
So that will put him in clover for the rest of his life. That kind of deal, and he's okay with it. There's a lot of money there.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't have any. It's not like he's going to be able to get a job doing anything.
20 freaking years? He's got to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, but I mean.
Michael Jackson didn't give Debbie Rowe that kind of deal.
I suppose, but I mean, you know, tell what, you know, as long. I mean,
again, I can't get that confirmed.
But I mean, if that guy's just sitting in a cabana somewhere, just watching tropical girls walk by and getting a check every month,
you know,
I'd take that. That's what I should. You know, that's what I should do right now, as a matter of fact. There's people, there's a lot of, we got one the other day just calling up saying I was an agent of the devil and so forth. I should start taking money just to, like, shut up and not do anything. I should just let people buy me off the radio right now.
What would I do every day at this time?
I don't know. If I get enough, maybe they can pay you not to talk. Starts with me, then it's you, then it's Howard. You know?
Oh, geez.
Just find all the people who dislike me and I should just set a dollar amount and just say, if you raise this much money, I will stay off the radio for the next 6 months. If you raise this much money, I'll stay off the radio for 5 years. That's a great idea. You know, I can be bought. I'm not proud. I can be bought. I can be bribed. I can be manipulated with money, Jim Roop.
But it's got to be millions.
It's I
$100,000 will take you off the air for a week. It's going to have to be millions.
Yes, yes. What with my incredible living expenses in Southeast Portland, which is sort of like a living expense in Inglewood.
$52.39 a month.
Yes, yeah. No, if somebody wrote me the check for $1 million right now and just like that Twilight Zone episode, just said I had to go live in a glass box and not talk for 5 years. That's fine. I'd take that.
Yeah.
As long as I got porn, that's all I care about. So supposedly, then Kevin Federline's going to get a bought off for the rumor is he bought off for 20 years, not to talk. And he's looking for custody of the two kids, and somebody pointed out that he didn't really seem interested in the custody of his other kids.
And even with these two kids, the nanny had more contact with him than he did.
Oh, and the judge is going to tell him to pound it.
Yeah.
Obviously. Now, let's just...
But the statement by his lawyer, did you see the statement by his lawyer?
No.
It said he is prepared to go the distance.
Oh,
to do what's necessary to protect his kids.
You know, here's the thing, and Sarah made this observation. That guy, he's managed to move a mighty, like, 3,000 copies of that record. That's with Britney Spears and a high-powered attorney representing him at the time. Let me tell you, you know the lawyer he's going to be getting is that guy who's on TV late at night in L.A., like 3 a.m., standing in front of a bunch of cardboard books.
Oh, yeah.
Have you or somebody you know been interested? Have you been maimed by farming equipment?
Larry
I can get
Parker.
You.
Larry H. Parker.
Yes, totally. It's going to be Troy McClure. Or no, Lionel Hutz, that guy in The Simpsons. Mrs. Simpson, I'm offering you a big cash settlement. I mean, that's going to be it, man. So let's assume for the moment that this 20-year buyout thing isn't the case. Do we know what the prenup says and what it doesn't? Like what?
All I know is the prenup was written up by Laura Wasser, who she's handled so many celebrity divorces.
No, you don't screw with her.
Nah, man, that's ironclad. And that's why it's hard for me to believe this settlement, because Britney Spears has the world by the ass on a downhill drag right here. She has no worries.
Fantastic. That's great. That you ought to put that on your demo clip that you pass around CNN. CNN's Jim Roop says Britney Spears has the world by the ass on a downhill drag. There you go. That'll you put that on the Christmas reel that you guys pass around. So there you go. Well, all right. So there's that. So is this going to be long and drawn out and ugly? Please say yes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
See, it'll start that way. I think the first time they get in court and the judge is going to say, "You're kidding, right?"
Yeah. Yeah, the first, I remember Carson, every like 8 years, Carson would go through one of these things where he would get the horrible divorce. And who was that Melvin Belli?
He was a big attorney.
He was a huge divorce guy. Yeah. He was a huge divorce attorney. And it's like as soon as you showed up in court and you saw that guy sitting across the aisle, you were just like, F me. Yeah, you were just like, I'm hosed. So, well, good. Because, you know, the thing is, we have Paul McCartney and Heather Mills, but they're so far away. We need our own. If only one of these, they were, like, missing a limb or something, they'd be perfect. But, you know, there's still time for that.
There is.
Oh, and of course, Schwarzenegger swept right back in.
Yep. A year ago, I wouldn't have said that, but
no.
Nope.
You know what are you going to
talk about a comeback? He's in Mexico right now.
Well, you know, God love the guy. Him and Joe Lieberman, who I said long and loud on the airwaves to everybody, to Lisa Goddard.
That's the biggest FU I've ever seen, man.
You know what? We apologized on the air to Joe Lieberman yesterday. We sent out our good wishes to him because I got to tell you, every time I talked to Lisa Goddard, every time I talked to anybody, I was like, you know what? That guy's hosed. He's never going to win again. He will never, ever. And you know what, man? He put it right back on me. He won. God love him.
Yeah, you know, so, as an independent, man. Yeah. If somebody asked me the other day, you think he'll go back to his party? No.
You know what? You can't. There is nothing like serving your adversaries like a big, gigantic glass of shut the F up.
That's right, baby.
And that's what that guy did, Lieberman size. So there you go. All right, Jim Roop, it is always a pleasure. We will talk to you at some point in the future as the world continues to unravel on its way to hell.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. God love that guy. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, during this whole Jim Roop thing, Sarah was just feverishly typing away at the keyboard like one of those chickens they used to have at the state fair.
No, I was just on MySpace because I got all these weird messages after yesterday. And there are so many Joshua Jackson fan sites.
Good Lord.
It's unbelievable. No, I couldn't even, because I've got...
Did you give him your cell number?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I gave his publicist.
Fantastic. He would have... Now, the vibe in here, and I'm not saying he was lecherous... I know Nate is listening. The vibe was very pleasant with that guy. I think if you'd asked him to go out with you afterward, he would have.
Oh, he said, yeah. I told him next time he was in town, if he wants to go out in a boat, I'll take him out with my friends and show him around. He's like, definitely. And he said he's going to be coming through sometime soon.
Excellent. Yeah, no, he was cool. I think he wanted to stay, but the handler was
They
were trying to rustle him out.
Damn.
What time is it? 1:30. I got all of this stuff to do, man. What have we filled however long it's been with? How long has it been?
2.5.
How long have we filled 2.5 hours with? God damn.
Are you going to read the email when we get back about the guy and the jumping?
The guy and the jumping and the Mahoygan. The Flavin. Yes. All right. What time is it? 1:26?
Yes.
All right. Let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. Here's what we're going to do. We get back. Why would a guy light a fireworks between his buttocks? Okay. Well, all right. Whatever. So I'm just looking at the screen. There was somebody just sent me this. Rick, you need to see the story. Here's what we'll do. We'll come back. I have this email, which I try. As Jim Roop, did you do that thing about Kevin Federline shutting his mouth for 20 years? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you busy messaging Joshua Jackson?
Oh, how we can't talk about anything. No, I heard that.
For 20 years. So, but as he said, a source that he trusts, well, a source that I trust sent me the inside scoop from the hotel. Where the guy tossed himself off the building Tuesday. So I've got a little bit of inside scoop there.
Cool.
And I should say preemptively, by the way, because not that anybody's asked me this, but we should say preemptively that we would not identify the guy, even if I knew. And we don't. But obviously that's a thing that, I mean, unless it turns out to be like, unless it was Dick Cheney, unless it was, because we haven't seen that guy for a few days. So unless it turned out that it was, you know, I mean, if it turned out that his initials were KF and he was a bad rapper, we would. But I do have a little bit of, I think, probably the final word about that guy. So we'll reveal that when we get back. What else? We got to give away, God damn, I suck. We got to give away two pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman with the giving away. We got to do that. We got the sound from Whoopi Goldberg. What else? Well, other things. And Tim Riley, of course. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. We are back in a moment. Not awesome. I'm looking at it. Oh, that's just sad.
Maybe if you could hear it, that would be better.
Well, let me see if there's a... Somebody has sent me this here that Billy Idol has just released a holiday record. Billy Idol sings Happy... Look at this, with bad animated snowflakes. Okay, look at this. Look at this album cover, Sarah. There's Billy Idol, Happy Holidays.
Oh.
Look at that. That's terrible. You can see this.
No, what it is just sad.
They forgot the handkerchief in his pocket.
IdolSanctuary.com is where you can see that. IdolSanctuary.com. Is my computer turned up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I think we might have sound from this.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Let's see. This is Billy Idol singing White Christmas, I believe. This is not a joke, by the way.
Of a white.
Not bad.
Christmas.
Yeah, but why would you ever need to own
Elvis
that?
To him.
What's that?
Little Elvis.
I suppose, but I mean, are there people really out there? Are there people clamoring for this? For Billy?
Maybe if you like a set of snow tires.
I'm looking at the comment right here on his website. What the hell is this? This is the first comment. How much money did you get? I hope a whole lot, because that sucks. Says the first comment in all caps.
Never ever allow people to make comments about you on your own website.
No,
you're
I
number
don't.
One.
No. No, in no way do I do that. Somebody sent me an email about that yesterday. They're like, hey, when are you going to have a big forum on your website? Me responding, like, never. Thank you for listening. Bye now. Yeah, not going to have it. And then right below this, hey, my Christmas has come early. All right, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't know if I was playing because we're continuing.
No, you don't have to.
Are we doing news before this?
I think so.
Well, let me begin without it.
We were talking to Jim Root before this.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Lionel Trains and the Easy Bake Oven are inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame.
Indicted. Is it true, Lionel Train, that you...
Yes. They joined Mr. Potato Head, the Frisbee, and 32 other classic playthings in the National Museum of Rochester, New York. Lionel Trains and the Easy Bake Oven are the first electrically powered toys to be enshrined into this Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let's wait a goddamn second. Somebody told me that the Toy Hall of Fame was in Salem.
They packed up and moved it.
Why?
Apparently they couldn't afford it.
Sons of bitches.
This is the same one. They packed it up in a box and moved it across the country.
They took our toy museum away from us?
Yep. Even the advertising museum downtown has been packed up.
I never had a chance to go there, and now it's
gone.
Too late.
Too late.
All right. What toys are going in this year?
The Easy Bake Oven.
Sarah, do you have an Easy Bake Oven?
My sister did.
God, no.
Yeah, see, my wife did, which is weird. A woman's studies major.
Was a dangerous toy. I got burned on that on several occasions.
Did you have an Easy Bake Oven?
No, my sister did.
Okay.
I used to help her.
No, I didn't. I must have just glossed over the part. I glossed over that because I was distracted by the image of you using the Easy Bake Oven and somehow burning yourself.
Well, I was fascinated.
Using it to kill ants?
It had powerful light bulbs inside, and I could not figure out how it cooked things.
And so, well, that's true, because now the Easy Bake Oven doesn't actually cook anything, does it?
Yes, it does, under powerful light bulbs.
Now, see, I thought that was all for show.
No.
I thought that when you use that cookie dough, it was like a no-bake cookie dough.
No, those third-degree burns are real, believe me.
These scars are real. And so what is it? So it's a light bulb that's powerful enough. I know that this...
And it had its own ingredients that apparently cooked under a light bulb.
So I know that this invention is like 100 years old, so I'm literally... Yeah. Like the last person in the country to figure this out. It actually cooks. Well,
yeah.
See, I don't know.
It actually burns.
My That's on the front. I'm just picturing like a happy face child while another one is like pulling a flaming hand out of the oven.
No, the sister prepares it. The stupid brother pulls it out with his bare hands and burns his hands on the pan. That's the way it works.
So it's
a family game. The sister is smart enough not to pull out hot pans without wearing a mitt on their hands.
So it doubles as sort of a family bonding game.
Yes, it does.
They can all rush you to the emergency
one
room
smiles,
together.
One screams. You can't even pick up the cake by the time it's done. Your hands are all bandaged. The rest of the family eats the cake. You sit there watching in pain.
Okay, that's fantastic. This is a lot of bonding as mom holds you down and dad wraps gauze around your flaming hand. Oh, that's genius. Oh, God. That's great.
And after all that trouble, the cake is about this big.
That's good times. Did I ever tell you about the time I bit clean through my tongue?
No, but I'd like to hear about it.
Sarah?
No.
All right. I had to eat Jell-O for like a month and a half. It's no good. All right. Anyway, so there you go. Easy bake oven. Right. I'm surprised it's still on the market.
I don't know if it still is.
Why would they take lawn darts off the market and then leave a thing that like, it can set your body on fire? That seems like maybe a case of misdirected priorities. So, there you go. Easy bake oven. It'll eat your bones and burn your children. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Governor Kulongoski's comments regarding flooded homes and storm-caused erosion has upset some homeless by the flooding. In a news conference, the governor said, "There is always a risk when people build homes on the edge of land, which is a true fact." He said, quote, "If you want a view, there's always a price to pay for it." Well, of course, the politically correct set, like everybody in the world around here, is very upset that he said that. Statements like that went straight to the heart of the people who lost everything, such as Jim and Amy. The couple built their home on the Sandy River 20 years ago, right off the river's edge. But this week's flooding destroyed half of it. All the living area is gone. Jim thought his home would be protected by a dike built by the Army Corps of Engineers after the flood in 1996. What he didn't realize was that the project ran out of money and only half the dike was finished. Thinking it was safe, he dropped his flood insurance.
Good God.
No more home.
All right, now here's a sad thing. Is I had the best story ever for Sarah Dillon. And by best story ever, worst story ever. No, and I just dropped it down behind the counter. there it is.
Oh,
hold on.
We can get Scotty to go find it.
Wait, no, hold on. Here it is. Let's read it now, shall we? Sarah, you want to hear the story?
No.
All right. Let's see. Do we have, let me see if I find it. Do you have porn music? Can we just play the porn music or whatever underneath this? Thank you. This is from, and we're reading this now in the public interest. This is a scientific story. We're reading this now as journalists. This is a journalistic endeavor now. We are reading this as part of the news segment here as we operate in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. This is from Penrith, which is in the UK. Why I Still Breastfeed My 8-Year-Old Girl. By Phil Coleman. Apparently men are raised differently over there. Oh, it's about a woman, though. A Penrith mom has appeared on national TV to explain why she's still breastfeeding her daughter, who is nearly 8, and why she gave her older daughter breast milk as a 9th birthday present. Veronica Robinson appeared on the Channel 4 program Extraordinary Breastfeeding. I swear to God, that's the name of a show on Channel 4 there. The show is called Extraordinary Breastfeeding. Like maybe it's like through a hose or around a corner or something. As a passionate advocate of allowing children to decide for themselves when they give up breast milk.
Oh.
No, you gotta keep listening. Davey, this one's for you.
That reminds me of a line from Sex and the City. If you're old enough to ask for it, you probably shouldn't be getting it.
Well, don't forget Margaret Thatcher took away all the regular milk.
You need to get it from the bosom. Mrs. Robinson, a former journalist, and her husband Paul and their children Bethany and Eliza are all fans of organic food. Probably stinky hippies. Eliza is approaching her 8th birthday and is not happy at the prospect of giving up her daily feed. Quote, says the little English girl.
Daily feed?
Her daily feed. Like they're strapping it on her face like an oat bag.
How many? Is it just once a day?
Well, let's find out what little Eliza says. She says, quote, "I don't want to be weaned."
I don't want to be weaned.
I don't. Sorry. Eliza says. Sorry. She's not happy the prospector giving up her daily feed. She says, quote, I don't want to be weaned. I want to breastfeed forever. End quote, she said. In the Channel 4 program broadcast on Wednesday, Mrs. Robinson spoke frankly about her decision. While many people consider her odd, other cultures do not take such a dim view of prolonged breastfeeding. In an interview before the TV program, 38-year-old Veronica described her reaction when her daughter Bethany asked for breast milk for a 9th birthday present. The mother said, I'd stopped breastfeeding when Bethany was 5, though I was continuing to feed her younger sister Eliza. But she obviously clearly remembered what a wonderful feeling it had been.
Oh, my God. But how does she stay all milky if she's, you know, if it's been like 9 years?
I don't really know.
Those things like shrink up and go away.
I don't want to be weaned. Eliza clearly remembered what a wonderful feeling it had been. It was the best thing she could imagine. And presented like that, it seemed like a great idea. Veronica, who edits an alternative parenting magazine called The Mother, continued, now this doesn't make any sense. This is what she says, and again, this is a news story.
We're reading now. Pravda.
We're reading this now. This is a journalistic endeavor now. I don't understand this phrase. Here's the quote. Veronica, the mom, says, quote, my girls were brought up to think it was completely normal to ask for a breast in a shop. End quote. Who knows what that means? Anyone?
Like to suckle while they're in the store.
Not to buy one. Okay. While the mom's out in public. I thought it was like, I need a breast, please. That's bad enough when they're toddlers, but when they're big girls, people get freaked out by it. I try to be discreet,
you think?
She says, about breastfeeding her 9-year-old daughter in stores. We've had some odd looks. People tend to be disgusted and non-believing. I can't believe any mother wouldn't love to hold on to that wonderful feeling you get when you are nursing a 9-year-old.
Oh.
Despite the Breast is Best campaign, designed to highlight the benefits of breastfeeding.
Wait, I've got to know, did she give the 9-year-old a cup of breast milk or did she have her suckle?
Well, why? That's extra work, don't you think? That's just inserting a step into the process. What? 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 I mean, really, if you've got a tap, why? You know, seriously, I mean, that is nature's straw, Sarah. Okay.
Story ever over?
Yeah, sadly, but it's tempting to go back and just read large sections of it again.
It's a book before bedtime on BBC Three.
I don't want to be weaned! I want to be breastfed forever! All right, there you go. I'm just going to put that right over there. All right, here's Tim Riley.
That was worthwhile.
Oh, wait, somebody wants me to... Listen, I have to be playing this now. This is the... this is Billy Idol playing, singing Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Jesus.
Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up.
What was that? Sid Vicious must be so proud. Here's Tim Riley.
Then we have that former teacher's assistant accused of having sex with a 15-year-old boy, indicted this week in Longview.
That is the hottest teacher's assistant I have ever... That is one of the hottest teachers, period, I have ever seen in my life.
It alleges that this young lady, they don't give her age, but she looks about 12 herself.
But that's
Christine Marie Johansson allegedly forced the boy to have sex with her. He's a freshman at Rainier Junior and Senior High School. Pleading innocent to 10 counts of third-degree rape, 2 counts of third-degree sodomy, 12 counts of second-degree sexual abuse, and 2 counts of furnishing liquor to a minor. This echoes the infamous Washington teacher and her student case. No, I don't think so. She's a lot better looking than...
Look, Sarah, look at how hot this teacher is.
Oh, my gosh.
She's stunning.
She is really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Where was that at?
Rainier, Washington.
And what's her name so everybody can...
Her name is Christine Marie Johansson.
There you go. Google her now, kids.
And this is her mug shot.
And she's...
That's from...
It looks like a headshot from a modeling agency.
She's of age, right?
It doesn't say.
Let's hope she's of age.
Of course, she's a teacher's assistant.
She's
a teacher's...
Well, no, that's... A TA can be... Can't that just be like an awesome apple-polishing student? Isn't a TA sometimes just like some brown noser?
I'm pretty sure that...
Oh, whatever. She's hot, though.
I don't know, Little House on the Prairie, Laura was only 16 when she took over the school in her hometown.
If she's underage, it's an aesthetic love from afar. Rick, my brother set the house on fire trying to bake paper cookies in the Easy Bake Oven. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fine if only your sister uses it, but when guys get involved, it's always trouble every time.
It all goes badly.
And you know it's going to happen.
Hey, by the way...
It's not just a girl's toy.
The human body biologically... This is now from a doctor. The human body biologically expects to breastfeed for about up to 7 years of age, Sarah Dillon. That's why you lose your milk teeth at seven.
There'll be a shortage of milk... moo cows.
Yes. By the way, Rick, just so you know, you're lying about extraordinary breastfeeding and speculating that maybe that was through a hose or around a corner made me laugh so hard I shot breast milk out of my nose. There you go. Here's Tim Riley.
It is time now for a clergy watch.
Here's a clergy watch right here on the Rick Emerson radio show.
So let's get him a double. We have conservative Christian leader James Dobson accusing the Republican Party of abandoning values at voters in the midterm elections and paying the price by losing control of Congress.
Eat it.
What did they do with their power? Very little values that voters care about. He also criticized other conservatives for complaining the religious right is too involved in the party. The cybersync scandal involving Mark Foley of Florida and the fall of Ted Haggard, the evangelical pastor who was fired amid allegations of gay sex and drug use, left many voters dispirited. About 7 in 10 white evangelicals voted for the Republican candidate, slightly less than the 8 and 10 who voted for Bush in 2004. Then we have another second story about Mr. Dobson, citing a lack of time. Focus on the family founder James Dobson. Withdrew from the team overseeing counseling for the Reverend Ted Haggard, the evangelical pastor who was fired amid allegations of gay sex and drug use. Emotionally and spiritually, I wanted to be of help, but the reality is I don't have time to devote to this critical responsibility.
Wash my car.
Mm-hmm. He was forced out as a senior pastor of the 14,000-member New Life Church over the weekend after a former male escort alleged they had sex repeatedly and that Haggard used methamphetamines. In a statement written to the church Sunday, Haggard confessed to unspecified sexual immorality, accepting responsibility for his actions and asked forgiveness. The counseling process, called restoration, could take years. Plenty of ice cubes and bathtubs and tarantulas crawling in your face.
I was just going to say, which involves being locked in a room and beaten with a hose while the jumper cables are put on your testicles. I'm speculating.
On some back road in Tennessee.
Yes. There you go.
It will surely bring him back to his senses.
There you go. That's how Jesus would want it. There's your clergy watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Get the most horrifying breastfeeding email.
I gotta have faith.
Who wants to hear it?
Is it from Aaron? Because I didn't open it. He sent it to me.
I have from Aaron. Who wants to hear it?
Me. No.
Who wants to hear it?
Me.
Okay. Thank you. Rick. Since we're back on the topic of breastfeeding well into the older years, let me tell you the story of an ex proving that it's not limited to the Emerald Isle. I think Ireland is the Emerald Isle, but
yes, it is.
We'll gloss over that just now. A person I was dating many, many, many years back, he says, had an older sister. Said older sister, Sarah, you're not paying attention.
That's on purpose.
Said older sister had a then 8-year-old son. There is nothing more awkward than to be eating dinner during my initial family introduction to the girlfriend's family, only to hear the 8-year-old son declare loudly, "Mommy, I want the boob." Breastfeeding.
Aaron has dated, I mean, thankfully he's married to Jen now, but he's dated some really weird people.
He said, I vomited ever so slightly in my mouth as I saw an 8-year-old boy. Then begin the process. I continued said intra-mouth vomiting. When I heard the mother remind her son to, quote, not nibble, as it gives mommy a bad tickle feeling. There you go.
This is apparently America's newest pastime.
Kids just can't get enough of not being weaned. Let's break, shall we? Okay, thanks. I don't want to be weaned! That's the best quote I've ever heard, by the way. To repeat
it's
that.
The voice that sells it.
That's really just me. I think I'm my Graham Chapman. I don't want it! Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. In the next hour, 2 pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman's farewell performance. What else? We got that. Oh, Whoopi Goldberg sound as well. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson show continues after this.